Welcome to today's episode of Let's Talk It Out. Climate change is real. An arbitrary thing to say, don't you think? It's not so arbitrary anymore once we take a look at how much the climate crisis is harming our planet and how little those holding the political power do to make a difference. How much longer will people much older than us call us the generation of the future without making an effort to secure said future? They say they listen to us and our concerns, but when it comes to taking action, the future generation are mere children who know nothing about the real world. It's actually quite alarming how much older generations fluctuate between telling us, "Hush, little child, let the adults handle it," and "It's up to you to fix what we have done to our planet." It's upsetting, isn't it?
Absolutely. In the end, the climate crisis is not a scientific crisis. It's a communication crisis. I mean, as you already mentioned, boomers, or let's say people over the age of 50, are the generation in power. For instance, the current US president, Joe Biden, is the oldest president in US history, and that's not uncommon. In fact, it's rather exceptional for a politician to be under the age of 40. That is noticeably frustrating youths, as their opinions and concerns are not represented but dismissed in today's political landscape. This is especially true in terms of fighting the climate crisis. Despite the enormous action taken by younger people to raise awareness and the enormous support they receive by numerous scientists, their opinions are frequently invalidated and not listened to. Well, at least that is how I often feel about it.
On the other hand, though, I often hear that people from older generations get the impression that their own efforts to fight for environmentally friendly policies are not valued enough by us young people. Simply because despite all of these efforts, the crisis is still dangerous and as urgent as ever. Have we failed to listen to each other? How come that intergenerational listening seems to be so hard if it is to happen outside of our very private inner circles?
Well, certainly there are a lot of stereotypes around. I myself sometimes get the impression that while Gen Z fights for a healthy planet, boomers are fighting for a healthy wallet. Now, it is to say that not all boomers and not all Gen Zers fulfill those stereotypes, and they are certainly not helpful for the goal to improve communication. But I do think both generations just have fundamentally different approaches to what makes a good life, which often impedes successful communication. Personally, I go from disbelief straight to utter frustration and a state of paralyzing depression whenever politicians, for instance, tell us, "We understand and we agree with the gravity of the situation we cause on this planet, but then don't do anything to make a difference." Am I sounding too dramatic? There certainly are many people in either generation who care, but the gap of emotional attachment to this topic is huge. And even though I mostly encounter this kind of argumentation with people much older than me, it is by far not only boomers thinking that way. For example, I literally had a fellow student tell me something along the lines of, "You can do your ecological stuff and I accept that, but you also have to accept that I don't care about it that much. I'm already separating the trash according to the rules and that should be enough." I was equally frustrated, of course. This is just to say, it is not only boomers being frustrating skeptics. However, the power dynamics are different when a politician holds such an opinion compared to a fellow student of ours.
Yeah, and having established that the tension between generations on this topic is also a problem of listening, what could we do about that? How could we approach such a situation? Well, first of all, we need to find formats for intergenerational exchange without inherently framing it as an area of conflict and disagreement. And since we often stay in our neatly constructed, barely intersecting social bubbles full of people holding the same opinions, this will require some active effort.
Yeah, totally. Because where boomers rely on newspapers and TV channels, Gen Zers are more present on social media and other online platforms. So finding a solution to that problem poses a challenge, but it's a challenge we should readily accept.
Oh, since you just mentioned TV channels, what is also prominent in questionably serious news programs is the so-called whataboutism. Whataboutism basically deflects from the main point of an argument in favor of side debates and hinders a coherent line of thought. It interferes with successful debates by setting the focus on winning an argument rather than trying to understand the other party's point. To be very honest, our generation is not free from that either. I think that we ourselves might sometimes have intimidatingly high demands for people's language and expertise on current topics. We subconsciously integrate that into discussions too. For example, discussions on climate crisis. Maybe young people are less afraid to show their visions because they experienced a bit less time of political frustration. So we are guilty of whataboutism too. And that doesn't help in either way for sure. And I have to admit that I often urge to avoid these conversations on the whole when I see them coming up, because I know that it will be frustrating, because I am afraid that I will not be patient enough, because I feel like it would be a waste of energy. I am not proud of that, but it's also a side of the story. Patient communication and listening can be difficult if that means that we need to hold back some of our own ideals. But maybe it is necessary in some cases. And nobody said intergenerational listening should be easy in a world in which people of different ages are so carefully separated into their own little lives. That was quite the rant, I'm sorry.
No worries. But the question is, what can we now do to improve communication and all this intergenerational listening? I think it is important to remind ourselves that we have a common goal and that we envision that common utopia, a utopia for what the world should be like. Like, what do we want our world to be like? What should it offer? And what life do we want to live on this planet? Questions we all need to ask ourselves. This is about dreaming. But, of course, dreams won't come true if we don't work for them. We can dream big, but we need to act big too.
Wow, we've definitely got some work to do. We need to get to a point we all agree on to start taking effective measures. I think we should try to listen to the others' arguments more carefully and try to fully understand them and where they're coming from. We should be attentive listeners, not cutting anyone off or judging them based on stereotypes.
Totally. And respectful listening also includes respecting emotions you might not understand. And this is hard, I admit. Maybe we need young people's hope and their ability to imagine what seems to be unimaginable, and then combine that with the knowledge and experience of those currently in power. I mean, in the end, we are fighting to preserve this planet. We are all fighting for a life that is beautiful and worth living. We are fighting for a world of justice, of freedom for everyone, and a world of understanding. We better start right here.
So, an appeal to oral listeners? Use the power of listening to unite efforts and solve what is perceived as unsolvable. And on that note, we'll bid you goodbye. See you next time!